We have been in a series called The Table, and I'm very honored to be able to finish off that series today. And so a little bit about my family is my family and I love camping. Typically, before both children were born, we would do tenting. And our daughter, Millie, she would go tenting with us. Her first tenting experience was when she was 20 months old. So that was an adventure, but it was really fun. But now we're borrowing on my parents' trailer because two kids is a little bit more hectic. But we went camping this summer once. We were hoping more, but didn't happen. But we went camping once this summer, and my kids just love being outside. They love being outside, playing in the dirt. My daughter loves riding her bike. When we went camping this summer, Elliot, my son, had not yet learned how to walk, so he was crawling around in the dirt, getting dead leaves and moss all stuck to him. It's like, oh man, you're just a mess. But it's okay, he was loving it. They loved hanging out in the hammock and just having a really good time. And so, but typically, like, this summer has been really dry, right? It's been dry and dusty, and so that means there's dusty dirt everywhere. When you're camping there, your feet get so dirty, especially if you're wearing sandals, hence why I'm wearing sandals today. I didn't choose it because of the weather. But your feet just get so dirty, and so when you're wearing these like flip-flops or sandals in these types of conditions, you get home, the first thing you want to do before you start unpacking is take off your sandals and like tiptoe to the bathroom to wash your feet, doing that awkward, like, I don't want my whole feet to be touching the ground here. And you're kind of that weird creature lurking towards the bathroom. I don't know if anyone else does that, but I sometimes do that. But dirty feet in a house is not ideal. Your floors are clean, usually, ours aren't usually, but your feet, your floors are usually clean. You don't want your dirty, dusty feet to be making a mess. And so sandals and dirt were actually very, very common during the time Jesus was alive. People's feet during the day-to-day would get dirty, and so when you got home, you had to wash your feet. And because their roads were not paved like ours are today. It's full of dirt. It's full of probably some animal poop on there. Like, it's not clean. It's not clean. And so it was very common practice to wash your feet. And if someone came over to your house, you would provide some things for them, like water and whatnot, for them to wash their feet when they come over. But there was a whole other aspect, actually, to foot washing. The act of foot washing was seen as a very demeaning task and would be performed by household servants. Some evidence suggests that even this was too demeaning of a task for a servant, and in some Greco-Roman texts, it suggested that foot washing was actually a synonym for slave. And in no situation would someone higher than you in the social hierarchy structure back then would be washing your feet. Not a chance. It would not be happening. But if someone in close relationship to you, like a wife to her husband, or a child to their parent, or a student to their teacher back then, if they washed your feet, it was a sign of ultimate love and devotion. And those two things I need you to keep in mind as we look through our scripture today. Two things. Foot washing was an act of a slave and also a sign of ultimate love and devotion. And so we're walking through John 13, 1 to 17 this morning, and I'm not going to read it straight through, but we're going to talk it through here this morning. And so the disciples were having a meal with Jesus, and they're just kind of, they're in the middle of their meal, so just imagine with me, there's conversation going, people are scarfing down their food, they're lounging, their conversation, and in the middle of all this, they're just enjoying everything, Jesus gets up. Imagine the silence at that meal that just went over their group. Because Jesus just got up in the middle of the meal. They're probably thinking, like, what are we going to do? Like, where's Jesus going? What's happening? Like, when Jesus stood up, like, just kind of the way their group works, it's like, huh, what is going on? And you watch him get up from his place at the table and go over to the side of the room. He takes off his outer robe, wraps a towel around his waist, pours some water, comes back to the table, and starts washing the disciples' feet. Now remember the context of foot washing here. Jesus should not be doing this according to what was normal in their society. These disciples called Jesus Lord and teacher, which would put Jesus in the higher ranks. Jesus, while breaking bread, decided to break a barrier so that he could serve those who were with him. And whenever Jesus breaks these types of barriers, it's usually for a point. It's to show what the kingdom of heaven is really like, or who Jesus really was. Jesus, who is Lord and teacher and who is God, who again, according to those societal norms, was supposed to be in the high ranks, the disciples should be washing his feet, not the other way around. Mark 10:45 tells us, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus breaks the societal norm and positions himself in such a lowly position to serve the disciples. And it was a foreshadowing of what was to come. Jesus dying on the cross for them, the ultimate service, the ultimate sacrifice. Philippians 2, verses 5-8 describes kind of what's happening so well. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, who was in heaven, who is God, who is above creation, came down and made himself nothing. He became a baby so that God could be visible to his creation, walk among them, serve them. We get to see who God is because Jesus came down and lived among his creation. What's God like? Look at Jesus. John 14:9, Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus came down not to be served, but to serve his creation because of how much God loves us. John 3:16, most of us know, but if you don't, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that is why Jesus is here washing the disciples' feet, to show them his ultimate love and devotion to them. Jesus is saying, "I am going to break societal norms, shatter your expectations, to show you how much I love you. Me washing your feet is a foreshadowing of what I am going to do for you. Suffer and die on the cross in your place so that you can live, so that you can have freedom, so that you can have healing, that you no longer have to live condemned, but live under the grace and love and forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. I'm here to serve you, to love you, to be devoted to you." Jesus is there washing the disciples' feet, and yet he gets to Peter. I love Peter. Peter brings me lots of comfort because lots of times he gets things wrong. Peter doesn't understand what's happening here, what Jesus is doing, and so we're going to read what Peter says to Jesus. John 13:6-8. "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Peter here feels so unworthy to let Jesus wash his feet. Jesus, his Lord, his teacher. Jesus should not be doing this. This is not what happens. Peter should be washing Jesus' feet, not the other way around. And Peter feels so unworthy that he rejects what Jesus is offering him. He rejects God's grace in that moment. Do you find yourself in this position? You feel so unworthy to accept Jesus, what Jesus is offering. You feel too far gone. You feel your past is too dirty, too messed up. You feel that there's no way that God will ever forgive me. Here's the thing. Technically, we are unworthy. Our sin disqualifies us from relationship with God. But God's love found a way to overcome our unworthiness. Jesus' love and devotion to you led him to the cross to take our place so we can accept the grace and forgiveness that is offered to us. Jesus wants to wash your feet. Jesus wants to serve you, wants to love you, wants to offer God's grace and forgiveness to you. Doesn't matter what's in your past. He knows that. Jesus died in your place. He took all that sin, all that bad stuff upon himself on the cross when he died because of how much he loves you. And it's okay to admit to yourself and to God that you feel unworthy. "God, I feel so unworthy. I feel like I am too far gone to accept your love or forgiveness." But you can then ask God to help you see yourself through his eyes and to help him accept what he's offering to you. If we don't let Jesus serve us, we can't have what he offers. Jesus tells Peter in John 13:8, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus is the only way we can have relationship with God. It is only through Jesus that we can be free, we can be healed, we can experience eternal life, love, forgiveness, wholeness. And as we continue in the story, we start to see Peter's understanding of what Jesus is doing for him. But he swings so far in the opposite direction. John 13:9, "Then Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Wash all of me." Peter goes from feeling unworthy to feeling what Jesus is offering is not enough. Do you feel this way? What Jesus is offering you is not enough? Maybe you need to add on some extra washing, some extra things to be saved. And this is sometimes where we dabble in that idea that we need to work for our salvation. That's false. That's a lie. Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is through faith and only faith in Jesus that we are saved. Works do not help us obtain salvation. Now Jesus continues and brings another aspect to this whole thing here. John 13:10, Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." We're going to come back to that first half of the verse in a little bit, but I want to focus on this. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Jesus is referring to someone in the group of disciples. If you don't know who that is, it's Judas. Judas is there. And if you don't know who Jesus is, or Judas is, he was one of the disciples that was not devoted to Jesus. Yes, he followed him, but ultimately the devil would use him to betray Jesus and turn him over to be crucified. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. And Jesus knew that Judas was not devoted to him. But he washed Judas's feet. Jesus does not wait for you to be devoted to him first. Jesus did not wait to die for us. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. While we're still with our dirt, with our sin, Jesus chose to be devoted before we were even devoted to him. And he died for us. Now that's true love. God loved the whole world and gave his one and only Son to die so that we could have eternal life, fully knowing that there were people who would completely reject what he was offering, fully knowing that there were people who were never going to be devoted. But Jesus was still devoted and still died for them. And Jesus is devoted to you. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you way before you are ever devoted to him. So what does this mean? I want to speak to two different groups of people here. Last week, Pastor Joe talked about accepting the invitation to come to the table. Maybe you haven't made the decision to accept what Jesus is offering you. Maybe you feel unworthy, or that so much more needs to be done in order for you to be saved, for you to have relationship with Jesus. You're not yet devoted to Jesus and have not yet made the decision to follow him. And I want to offer that invitation again to you this morning. You can accept the invitation to come to the table. And if this is you, I want to lead you in a prayer. So if you would be willing, if everyone can bow their heads and close their eyes, just to give privacy. If this is you this morning and you want to accept the invitation of accepting Jesus' love, grace, and forgiveness, would you please raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Just repeat after me, even those who already have a relationship with Jesus, just repeat after me. Jesus, I want to accept your invitation. I recognize that I have sinned, and I am in need of a Savior. I am sorry for my sin. I am in need of you to wash me clean. I am in need of your love. I am in need of your forgiveness. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross so that I can have relationship with you. Amen. Thank you, everyone. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I know myself or Pastor Joe would love to connect with you. So please make a quick stop at the Next Steps table to get connected. We're so excited to be on this journey with you. You are not alone in this. Now the second group here. Many of us are already following Jesus. We have already accepted the invitation. Jesus speaks to us in John 13:10. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean." We have already had a bath, so to speak. I have believed in Jesus since I was a little girl. I have not been perfect. I have made mistakes. In my journey with Jesus, I have sinned knowingly and unknowingly. And so my whole body has had that initial bath, but my feet are dirty. And I need Jesus to wash my feet. I need Jesus to serve me. I need to come back to the cross and humble myself and ask for forgiveness again. We need to continue to have a repentant and humble spirit. The Gospel Coalition, in the article by Stephen Wellam, "If all my sins are forgiven, why must I continue to repent?" puts it well. As we live our lives and unfortunately sin, we need to return to God in repentance and faith and seek his forgiveness. Yet we do so on the basis of Christ's work applied to us in our justification. Such an experience is not a new justification, but a renewed application of our justification. Coming back to him is not getting fully a full bath again, but it's getting our feet washed. Jesus is willing and wanting to serve you in this way. Will you allow him to serve you? Because here's the thing, continuing on in John 13, God calls us to love one another. God calls us to serve and be devoted to one another. Verses 14 to 17, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed if you do them." This idea that God asks us to love one another, be devoted and serve one another, is found in other scriptures, John 13, 34 to 35. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Galatians 5, 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Ephesians 4, 2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And these are just a few examples that we find in Scripture of what Jesus calls us to do. But we can't love one another and serve one another in this way unless we let Jesus serve us first, unless we get our feet washed first. Philippians 2, 5, which is the beginning of what we read earlier, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Jesus is devoted, willing to love and serve. We have to have that same mindset, being devoted to one another, willing to love and serve each other. We are called to be devoted to love and serve. But we can't do that unless we first allow Jesus to love and serve us. An amazing thing that Jesus instructs us to do to help us remind us of the devotion that he has for us and his love and his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, an act of service, is communion, which is what we're going to do here this morning together. And if you follow Jesus, even if today is the first day of following Jesus, I want to invite you to come and partake in communion together. If you have not yet grabbed a little cup, just go, they're at the back. You have time to go and grab one. It's totally okay. Just go and grab one and come back. If you need instructions, these things are always tricky. You can do the top piece first to get your little cracker wafer thingy. And then your second layer for your juice. And we'll just wait till everyone is ready here. Now, before we lead into communion, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. We need to pause and get our feet washed. I'm not asking you guys to come up and get your feet literally washed here. Don't worry. But we're going to take a pause and ask God to examine our hearts. And we're going to then pray for forgiveness and to be washed clean together. So I'm going to just give you a moment to pause, about 30 seconds or so, and just ask God, God, is there anything in my heart that is not right with you? Now just pray this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing me the sin in my life that I have not dealt with. I am sorry and ask for your forgiveness. Make my feet clean. Thank you that your word says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us. Amen. Now we're going to take communion together, so if you would please take your little cracker, your bread. Now, Jesus, thank you for your love and devotion and that your body was broken so that I may be forgiven. And now, if you'd please take the cup. Jesus, thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross, that I may be cleansed and made right with God.